If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, it's Seth, and before we get to the podcast, I just wanted to let you know that I'll be doing stand-up this summer on Saturday, July 24th. I'll be at the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center, and on Friday, July 30th, I'll be in Boston doing two shows at the Wilbur Theater. We hope to see you there. During a visit to the White House yesterday, pop star Olivia Rodrigo made a surprise appearance at the afternoon press briefing to help promote youth vaccinations, which should have a big impact on the millions of teens who watch the White House press briefings.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with musician Questlove, whose directorial debut, Summer of Soul, is in theaters and on Hulu now. But first, a closer look.
With COVID cases once again on the rise, especially in places where vaccination rates have lagged, the GOP and Fox News have been freaking out about President Biden's plan to conduct community outreach to raise awareness about the vaccines. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Yesterday was a big day at the White House. Pop star Olivia Rodrigo met with President Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci to promote COVID vaccines among young people. And in addition to providing a much-needed boost to efforts to get more people vaccinated, it also gave us the gift of Fauci, one of our most beloved and celebrated scientists, explaining to the best of his ability who Rodrigo is.
You're going to meet with singer Olivia Rodrigo tomorrow at the White House. What do you think that she can do to try to persuade younger people to get vaccinated?
Well, I understand that she's a very popular figure among young individuals.
That sounds like one of those weird Next Generation episodes where Data is explaining to Riker who Elvis Presley was. He was an influential musician of the mid-20th century. Apparently, he died on a toilet. Of course, you can't blame Fauci for not always keeping up with the times. He's an 80-year-old immunologist. Fauci's idea of a pop star is probably Eddie Cantor. We need to reach out to young people. Any ideas, Dr. Fauci? What about Bobby Goldsboro? Mel Torme? Oh, can we get Perry Como? Fauci doesn't know anything about modern music, nor should he. He probably knows Leonard Bernstein and that's it, which is fitting since when he goes back to his old neighborhood, he probably acts like a character from West Side Story. Hey, it's Tony the Fauci. Looking good, Fauci. Right back at you, Mickey. Tony, watch out. The Republicans are looking for you. Hey, don't worry, honey. The Fauci ain't no slouch. Fauci, Fauci, crazy Fauci. Anyway. This was a genuinely great, an admirable thing that Rodrigo did. We desperately need as many trusted sources across a wide swath of society to raise awareness about the vaccines and push back against all the toxic misinformation pushed by the right. And if you watched her comments yesterday, I think you'd agree that Rodrigo was very effective at getting the message out.
I am beyond honored and humbled to be here today to help spread the message about the importance of youth vaccination. I'm in awe of the work President Biden and Dr. Fauci have done and was happy to help lend my support to this important initiative. It's important to have conversations with friends and family members, encouraging all communities to get vaccinated and actually get to a vaccination site, which you can do more easily than ever before, given how many sites we have and how easy it is to find them at vaccines.gov.
Side note here, it's nice to see a real celebrity at the White House after the last 4 years when the previous president could only manage to dig up the likes of Ted Nugent or Scott Baio. Biden's got huge celebrities helping him out with an unprecedented nationwide campaign to get Americans vaccinated against a deadly disease, and all Trump could muster was 18 holes with Kid Rock in his flag pants, which looks like something you'd buy for $6 at a truck stop because you tore the ass out of your good pants rock climbing on peyote. Then you might be asking yourself, they sell pants at truck stops? Yeah. You think truckers go cross-country wearing one pair of pants the whole time? Get real. That is, unless they buy my new product, Permapants. And if you're wondering how I'm gonna sell them, I'm gonna grow a mustache and start talking like this. The best thing about Permapants is you can go on the go and you don't have to pull over and pee in the woods and risk getting eaten by the bears. I made so much money from Permapants, I was able to buy a diamond ring from the bears. I also bought some earrings for my wife, Deborah, and then the salesman asked what they were for, and I said, Dab's ears! You see, what happened here is Shoemaker texted us last night and said, FYI, plenty of time for tomorrow's closer look. And we said, challenge accepted. I mean, Shoemaker, why would you do that? That's like texting a recovering alcoholic, no line at the bar. The whole reason I went to impression camp was so I could stop doing impressions. Then you come along like a drug dealer saying, psst, hey, kid, want to do a Lindell? How about a Tony the Fouch? By the way, Shoemaker, I also went to tangent camp. And if you want to know how to get there, you take a hard left, and then you just keep going. Now, part of the reason the appearance from Rodrigo was necessary and valuable was that it will hopefully help push back against vaccine misinformation being pushed by the GOP and right-wing media. For example, they've recently started claiming that Joe Biden's plan to conduct targeted community outreach and go door-to-door to raise awareness about vaccines is actually a sinister government effort to take your guns and your Bibles and force you to take whatever medication the government wants you to take.
And now they're starting to talk about going door-to-door to be able to take vaccines to the people. Think about the mechanisms they would have to build to be able to actually execute that massive of a thing. And then think about what those mechanisms could be used for. They could then go door-to-door to take your guns. They again go door-to-door to take your Bibles.
Yeah.
Don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci-outy. You leave us the hell alone.
Going door-to-door? This is creepy stuff. You know, someone comes up to your door outside wearing a mask, showing up at your house, claiming to work for the government, asking you personal medical questions.
Can HHS force you to take antibiotics for your TB? How about Xanax for your anxiety, Thorazine for your mania? And while we're at it, why are we letting irresponsible, defective people reproduce? Vagrants, mental patients, even QAnon people, all are allowed to have children. Why is that? Why aren't we sterilizing them? Sound crazy?
What else can the government do? Can they force you to take aspirin when you have a headache? Can they strap you down and slather you in Bengay if your back hurts? Can they have mall security drag you out of Brookstone for spending too much time in the massage chair, even though you show them a doctor's note that says you have an enlarged tailbone and you have a constitutional right to sit in the electric massage chair for as long as you want? And then they say that's not a doctor's note, it's written on a Post-it, and everyone in the store laughs. And you say, oh, I'm sorry, I guess because my doctor works out of a Staples, I'm not an American citizen anymore. And while everyone's busy laughing, you try to fish some quarters out of the mall fountain. And they say, you can't do that. And you say, well, how else am I supposed to buy a box of garlic knots from Sbarro? And they say, there's no Sbarro at this mall. It was replaced by B. Dalton Booksellers. And you say, well, welcome to Joe Biden's America. And as you're saying it, you fall ass first into the fountain and nearly drown until the mall cop revives you by doing CPR without getting your permission first. Does that sound crazy to you? Also, can we go back to this?
Going door to door? This is creepy stuff. You know, someone comes up to your door outside wearing a mask, showing up at your house, claiming to work for the government, asking you personal medical questions.
Well, I mean, you can make anything sound creepy when you say it like that. Someone comes up to your door wearing high socks, short shorts, and a bucket hat, opens your mailbox, takes all the outgoing mail, puts it in a van that looks suspiciously like an ice cream truck, and drives it away. I know you're not the ice cream man. You're not fooling me, government. In reality, it is a volunteer effort, and all they're doing is trying to raise awareness about life-saving vaccines amid a deadly pandemic. And look, I get that if you still don't have the vaccine and you watch Fox News, you are not going to be convinced by someone knocking on your door. But it's still nice that they're trying. It's not like they're working on commission or trying to get you to upgrade to Pfizer's friends and family plan. Everyone just wants this pandemic to end. And the fastest way out is the vaccine. COVID cases in the U.S. have doubled in recent weeks. And CBS reported a few days ago that almost all of the new cases, 99.7%, are among people who have not been vaccinated. It's tragic. And it's unnecessary. We have an abundance of safe, effective, and free vaccines for anyone who wants one. And yet the right has even gone so far as to insist that Democrats or the media or anyone who wants to combat the spread of this deadly disease is somehow addicted to the pandemic.
They just can't let the pandemic go. At some point, they're going to have to break the addiction.
Well, and it's like, you know, some of these people get put out there all the time when they've been dead wrong over the last year.
And when you say some of these people have been dead wrong, are you referring to the guy who said a deadly plant toxin could cure coronavirus, or the guy who said last year that COVID deaths are almost nothing, or the guy who said we could cure coronavirus by eating Tide to-go sticks like French fries and complimented a doctor who believes in demon sperm? Remember that? I mean, how could you forget? Demon sperm sounds like the name of a monster truck or a knockoff energy drink you'd find at the counter in a bodega. Also, do you think we can't quit the pandemic? Are you insane? I'm so sick of this pandemic. When it's over, I'm going to celebrate by going to a giant indoor concert where we all burn our masks, drink ayahuasca out of a shared cup, and make out with each other. We all want this godforsaken nightmare to be over, which is why we're trying to convince people to get vaccinated. But maddeningly, we're dealing with a political movement that's made spreading lies about vaccines one of their central political projects. It's become a culture war issue for them. They're even selling merch now.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis introduced new coronavirus-themed campaign merchandise. These are some of the items being sold on the governor's official campaign website. There's a drink koozie with a quote from DeSantis asking, "How am I going to drink a beer with a mask on?" And a T-shirt that reads, "Don't Fauci my Florida."
Cool. So the Republican Party is basically just hot topic for boomers now. Florida's currently reporting daily cases close to four times the national average, with the second highest number in the country. And DeSantis is selling merch like he's at a folding table outside Warped Tour. Can't wait for DeSantis to show up to his next interview in a new T-shirt with a studded belt, a pierced nose, and jet black hair. And what does that even mean? Don't Fauci my Florida? Is that supposed to be a play on words? It sounds like a Mad Lib filled out in a concussion ward. Also, poor Fauci. He's an 80-year-old New York doctor. The natural next step for him was to move to Florida, and now he can't. Old New Yorkers move to Florida the way sea turtles migrate. It's just instinct. One day they're at the top of the subway stairs with a bag from Zabar's, and something in them goes, F it. Next thing they know, they're in Boca putting a basket of seashells on the back of a toilet. I'm home. Every sane person wants the pandemic to end as quickly as possible, and the best way to do that is to get as many people vaccinated as we can. We have an abundance of safe, effective, and free vaccines available for anyone who wants one. We just need to keep getting the word out. Instead, large parts of the right are spreading dangerous lies about the vaccines. A sane political movement in this situation would be doing the opposite. They'd be telling the government, please,
come knocking on my door with your Fauci outie.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our guest is a Grammy-winning musician and a founding member of The Roots, whom you can see every night on The Tonight Show. His fantastic documentary, Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, is in theaters and on Hulu now. Please welcome back to the show our friend Questlove.
Hi, how you doing?
Good to see you, my friend.
Great to see you. No, hold your applause, everyone. Hold your applause.
Oh, yeah, you guys are spoiled. You got an audience and everything downstairs.
You know what, though? I've been a longtime fan of this show. This was like the last thing in the last normal.
Whatever
you want to call it. This is the last thing I did before I realized how serious the next 16 months was going to be. But I got to say, I love the rhythm. I like, this feels like public access. I like
thank
it.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you. Well, I hope our NBC paymasters are watching.
Yes.
And hearing that this is a public access show.
No, I love the rhythm of it.
Thank you. Thank you. We do love it, too. So this is a wonderful film about the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival. This is not something I knew about.
Right.
And
me neither.
That's the shocking thing, right? Like, you have all this knowledge of especially music history. And when you first got word of this, you also didn't think it was real.
I thought I had all the knowledge in the world, you know, because, you know, I was, there was a period where, like, I was the guy, I was YouTube. I was the guy that everyone called on for any sort of archive. So naturally, when I, you know, when they requested a meeting with me, you know, I Googled and I called a few music experts and none of them ever heard of this thing. So I was very, very, they hate when I say this, but I, you know, I thought they just, like, why don't they just ask for Fallon tickets? Like, it's easier. Like,
so these were, when you say this, these are guys who are calling you saying, we have this footage and we want
My two producers, David Dinnerstein and Robert Fivalent, they said that they had over 40 hours of this mythical Stevie Wonder, Sly and the Family Stone concert that happened in Harlem. And, you know, after like nine people told me, I never heard of it. And they were like of age at the time. I just like, nah, there's no way this happened.
And so, I mean, it must have been for someone like you and for the kind of artists that are in this film. I mean, what was it like when you first sat down and started watching this footage? Was it like the Holy Grail?
It's past the Holy Grail. Like, this is what they call lightning in a bottle. And then, like, all my arrogance sort of dissipated, and suddenly, like, I became worried. Like, why would they even trust me to tell this story? Like, a first-time storyteller. So, I'll just say that I realized that I had, like, the most valuable I'm sorry. Am I giving my a bracket away if I say the word vase?
No, go for it.
Sorry. Vase. You know, I knew I had an important artifact in my hand. So the first thing I did was, you know, assembled a crack team of experts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my producer, Joseph Patel, and my editor, Josh, you know, and, you know, everyone else involved with the project. But I just wanted to do it because, you know, I'm an obsessive for history. And so.
And it's interesting, you know, it seemed like it was not just lost in that people didn't know what happened, but it seemed like some of the people you talked to that even performed at it almost to some degree had forgotten. Because we have this great thing in the film, which is you show, we get to watch people in real time watch their old performances.
Very meta. Yeah, it's sort of that that Harry Met Sally situation where you get to reflect and watch people watch themselves. I thought it was important only because just in my research, I had so many goosebump moments of like, wow, 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 that sort of thing, that I wanted them to have the same response too. I wanted to catch their reaction when they first saw it. And yeah, it was complete, like magic constantly jumps from the screen when you watch these performances.
And another magic thing that's happened for you is that some people have reached out and said they not only have seen themselves in the footage, they've seen, departed family members.
Yeah, that to me is my favorite part of this whole process. All throughout social media, like every day, there's a guy who hasn't seen or has any photos of his brother who passed away when he was like 20, like during like 1970, 71. And we have a close-up of them. So like the whole family is like, you know, they get their opportunity to see their uncle as a teenager. There's a woman that discovered her great-grandmother in the front row screaming at Stevie Wonder. You know, and daily I get things of, oh, that's me when I was 14, you know. So that's what's happening right now, yeah.
You had actually seen footage of this before, but you didn't know what it was for. You were in Japan.
Yeah.
And where did you see it?
Okay, so when the Roots first went to Japan in 1997, back when things were like more localized and the internet didn't connect the world at the same time, if you wanted to see anything from my childhood, old games, toys, artifacts, Afropics, whatever, you went to Tokyo.
Really?
Because, I mean, they have such an affinity for, like, 70s culture over there. And so my translator looked at my Afro and was like, she kind of put two and two together, like, you know, you remind me of Don Cornelius from Soul Train. And so I was like, okay. And then she took me to a place called the Soul Train Cafe, which is basically kind of like a Fridays with better fonts.
Yeah.
And there was like monitors all over the restaurant. And I just happened to see maybe a 2 or 3 minute clip of Sly and the Family Stone from one of the faraway cameras. And so at the time, I didn't realize I was watching the Harlem Cultural Festival. I thought it was like Montreux Jazz Festival or something like in Europe.
And you, I want to refer back to something you said about how you used to be YouTube. You took this very seriously. You carried around, like, bags full of tapes because people had this expectation that even when you traveled, they could ask you for this sort of piece of arcana that no one else could get.
So I had 2 Kipling bags, probably the size of this couch right here. And then once I went to the Soul Train Cafe, and, you know, again, this is before the internet, before you could instantly look at back at something from your childhood, all I had were memories at that point. And so I asked this woman, like, where can I find, like, these clips? You talk about Soul Train. I haven't seen that in 25 years. Like, where is it? And she took me to this magical, like, video city in Tokyo, and I stayed an extra 2 days. Like, I probably purchased easily like $15,000 worth of
That's Vaz money.
Yeah, Vaz money. Yeah, getting it back into the States was a little bit weird. But from 1997 to about 2004, if you saw me in the streets of New York, I didn't have a backpack on. I had 2 giant Kipling cases that I took with me everywhere. And this is what, like, when I worked on, like, Erykah Badu's record or D'Angelo's record or Common's album or any artist I work with, we'd spend 5 hours just going through what we call, like, the treats. And that's how we made, like, the records that I'm sort of associated with and known for. Like, it's just based on that. And then YouTube came and put me out of business. So
you also mentioned going to Japan for festivals. Obviously, this is a, you know, it's a film about a festival.
Yeah.
And the Roots were a festival act for
Roots
a long
Picnic.
Time.
Yeah.
And what was it that drew you guys to festivals? Were you just, you know, were you building a fan base? Like, is that what the festivals helped you do?
So the whole goal of festivals, especially when you're a new act going to Europe, you want to do the summer circuit. It's fishing. And so, like, back in 92, if we're playing, like, Reading Festival or Glastonbury, behind a, you know, they're waiting for Jamiroquai to come on and let the Roots do their 45 minutes. You want to make an impression. So our whole goal was always, like, to at least, okay, there's 40,000 people out there, but we just need 5,000 people. And then you come back in December, and when you play clubs and theaters, those people that saw you at festivals, they're your new fans.
That's and what a cool thing to have gone through and done. And this is really, congrats on this film.
Thank you.
New Yorker has already called it best movie of the year. I mean, you couldn't have expected, right?
This was my pivot in pandemic sort of thing that just kept me sane, you know, while we were waiting for what was happening. But I didn't realize that what was my passion project would even resonate with the world like this. So I'm very excited.
Well, it's really special. I can't recommend it enough to everybody. Thanks so much for being here, my friend. Summer of Soul is in theaters and on Hulu now.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
your favorite coffee shop down the street, to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.